Father, we thank you for that food that you give us, Lord, week after week, that sustains us and keeps us alive, that we can draw life from, and comfort, hope, and encouragement. Lord, even though we have heard many principles over and over again over the years, that simply tells us, Lord, that you are still teaching us. You're still working that faith within us, a faith that pleases you, a faith that receives those promises that you have eternally given to us. And so, Lord, we ask for those fresh ears today, a heart that is open to receive that word now, your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn to something you've probably got underlined in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to study today verses 5 and 6, which is a very, very important principle in the walk of faith. And we've had teachings over the years on this, but in this, we are told to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. And that is the promise if we meet the conditions of what he requires us to walk by. I know we don't always like these conditions, but that's why we labor in the word, to learn these conditions, that they fall from our head to our heart. And the reason that God gives conditions to his word is so that no one can use his word and try to get those promises from his word without glorifying his name. Because God watches over his word. How do we know that? We know that in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, when he set that tree, the sword. There is the living word, life, that we sustain and are kept by. And even in eternity and in glory, we're sustained and kept by that living word who is Jesus, the fountain of life, all knowledge, all source, all wisdom. And how do we gain that? Is by the word that we receive. When you're receiving the word, you're receiving Jesus. You're receiving him, the living Logos, made flesh. He's the eternal one. He has always been there, and he always will be there. And that is why he will not be defiled. That is why sin cannot remain in his presence and defile the word. It is protected and preserved. And man could enjoy God, could enjoy the living word, everything. But he was to learn obedience with that word. And he was not to partake of the tree. And God was testing him with that to see for obedience. And so likewise, we receive the conditions of God's word, and those conditions teach us that we can receive eternal life, we can receive blessing, healing, deliverance, salvation. But our laboring is learning the principles of God's word. And so today, I'm calling this, lean not on your own understanding. You see, our own understanding is always going to fight against God. Our own understanding is always going to have a problem with God. And that is why the world out there today is angry, resentful. All the problems that you see there today expressed in man's heart is that he wants that peace, that fellowship, that security with God. But he's not prepared to find that so that his understanding is enlightened, is quickened, anointed, in which to receive the blessing. And so I want us to bear that in mind this morning as we look at this in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. And we get a clear understanding of this also in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. He again brings this element out in Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. He says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." And then it goes on. Well, yes, let's read it on because it carries on. But he says, "Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." So again, we're shown in Jeremiah, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. In other words, lean not unto your own understanding, in man's wisdom, in what man thinks, how man thinks he should approach God, how he should glorify God, how he thinks what pleases God. We don't know what pleases God unless God opens our eyes. And we have learned thus far what pleases God is faith, obedience, obedience, faith. And God has to teach us that because in nature we are rebellious. And so we're getting this clear understanding now, lean not on your own understanding. There is a story in Scripture that relates this. And I want us to turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. And here's a story here of which clearly illustrates this. And it's about God's covenant that he makes with David. And David wants in his heart to build a house for God. And you know the story. And let's take it up in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 1. "Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.' But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved, because with all the children of Israel, have I even spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?' And so it goes on. And it says, 'Now therefore, thus says to your servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel.' And he goes on, 'I have been with you all these years and fought with your enemies,'" and so on. And then we get the reason why God doesn't want David to build him a house. And we get this from 1 Chronicles 28, verses 1 to 3. In 1 Chronicles 28, verses 1 to 3, and it says here, "Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers and the tribes and the captains and the divisions who served the king, and the captains over thousands, the captains over hundreds, and stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials and valiant men and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren, my people. I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, "You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my fathers to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah and the house of the father, and among the sons of the father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel." And so with that response, he said it was in his heart to build, but God said, "No, you will not build it. Your son will, Solomon. You have desired in your heart to do it." So God has seen that. But he said, "Because you are a man of war, you have shed blood, you will not build it." Now, Nathan the prophet said, "Go and do what is in your heart." So he gave a blessing on it. And that night, as we've read, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, "No, he's not going to build it. His son will." And so here we get a clear understanding of leaning not on your own understanding on what looks right. After all, it looked outwardly right that King David, a man who has a perfect heart, heart after God, why should he not build a place for the Ark of the Covenant that had been dwelling in tabernacles and tents all these years? He saw this and he wanted God to have a good place in which to be glorified and worshipped. What is wrong with that, we may ask? Religious people will say, "What is wrong with glorifying God? Let us build these great cathedrals and churches in which we will build God." And God says, "I don't want it. I don't want it, because I dwell in you, in your heart. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I." The people are the church. And here we get this going on. It's still with us today. The same mistake is still with us today. And so God, because he loved David like he always did, he corrected him, brought him back on course. Because often David went off course. Yet he still had a heart after God, because he was a man, once he had seen it and God showed him it, gave him the revelation, he bowed the knee and acknowledged it. He never fought against what God showed him. Yes, he did things in ignorance. But when God finally opened his eyes, he then saw and bowed the knee and acknowledged it and never fought against it, or never made excuses or covered it up, or like so many would do or do. No, he always acknowledged God's ways once God had opened his eyes. And that is the key to understanding Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And that's why so many, sadly, are not blessed by what that tells us. Because they don't really want God's ways. So there, in my opinion, is a very clear understanding of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, as we've just read in Chronicles and in Samuel, that story. And how we can relate to that sometimes. What we thought we would do for God to please him, little realizing that God says, "I'm not in it." We've tried to do it at times in this church. We've tried at times to do it in going forth in some type of ministry, only to find God hasn't blessed it. Because God says, "I'm not in it, I'm not building it." So with that in mind, let's now look at this. So he says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we draw from this that man has to understand God's ways. And we have to learn those ways. Now, how do we learn those ways? They're learnt by trust. There's still some of us, we're battling with God's ways, learning his ways, because we still don't really trust him. And when those trials come, it reveals in our heart whether we do or we don't trust him. And therefore, if our relationship with God is not built on trust, you are never going to really understand. You're never going to really understand his ways, what he's doing, and what he's saying. There's always going to be that element of confusion, that doubt. So, firstly, looking at this then, there's to be a trust of the heart. Now, it's a trust where the heart is influenced, is changed. That is how this trust is worked within us. The heart has to be moved. It has to be changed. And very often as well, when we go through our trials or whatever it would be, that trust is encouraged or influenced because we have seen the mighty hand of God bring me through. And so God allows us our trials, and those trials can get pretty hot. But very often those trials that God is permitting you to go through is because your relationship is built on trust. And it is exactly the same in a relationship between a man and wife, our relationships in the house of God as well. Sometimes our relationships are tested. But they're tested for a reason, because God is building a trust. We walk in two, we're shown in Scripture, but those two cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. And that agreement, the understanding of that agreement, is based on trust. As you can't walk together. That is the basis of unity. And is, of course, the basis of fellowship in the house of God. And so if we don't trust, then there's not quite that belief. There's not that love that is working. And so our mistrust, our questioning, not being sure, is simply a result that I'm still not yet fully trusting God. Because if you're fully trusting God, you are completely disposed in which to trust in the house of God. Even if they don't trust you fully, you have that anchorage in your heart to trust, because you know where your trust really is, and it's first and foremost in God. And this is why relationships, marriages, don't work. And of course, the powers of darkness now in this last day know exactly how to attack, and they will attack in the area where they try to break that trust, that bond. That is why, as Christians, we still believe in the sanctity of marriage. Because the sanctity of marriage is an open confession of two people joining themselves together in a trust. In a trust, and if it's Christian, particularly their trust in God and their trust for each other. That is what makes a marriage. That is what makes relationships. That is what makes successful businesses. When you have that trust. And so in that, the heart is influenced, it's changed. And so often, unfortunately, we trust in this world. We trust in our wealth, our riches. We trust in the arm of the flesh. We trust in those things that really we shouldn't trust in. And that's the problem. And all the while, we're still trusting in the world, trusting in the arm of the flesh that is revealing to me, I still yet don't fully trust in the Lord. I'm not yet really influenced. And so we have to stay with it. We have to keep coming. We have to keep with the Word. Because eventually God is going to catch up with us and He's going to show us, if we let Him, that there is a trust and that He will not let us go and that we can completely trust Him with our whole being and whole heart. And He will show us that these things that we trust in the world, you can't trust in them. It actually is a mistrust. It's a mirage. You can't trust in those things because they're dying away. They're going away. So we do it because the heart isn't moved, isn't changed. And that is a lot of our problems. We can actually come to meetings and we can actually hear the Word and we can actually get all excited about the Word, but still the heart has not really been moved and changed. Because the Word, you still want the Word to give you a quick fix. You want an adrenaline rush. You want to feel good because you've had a rotten week and I felt depressed and down, you know, and I just, you know, and suddenly the Word or something you like, something's ministered to you or speaking to your situation, whatever it is, you know, suddenly get all excited and feel so spiritual. You know, I've seen it. I've seen it in our circles. People coming in down, depressed, and they just hear something and suddenly up go the arms. Oh, praise you. Thank you, Jesus. You see a new person. Well, why weren't they like that at the beginning? It's called the sacrifice of praise. Why? Because you don't understand yet. The heart hasn't been moved, changed. We may know all our theology, but it's all in the head. No. It's got to be in the heart. And it comes right out of that trust. Otherwise, if that trust is not there, you cannot build in relationship. And God fundamentally has saved us for relationship. How can you have a relationship with God if you don't trust Him? It just can't work. And so because we don't trust God, as we should, that is why being in the Christian environment, Christian circle, and at times being still religious, we then go looking to the arm of the flesh to try and get that trust, that security. And it doesn't work. It can be called idols. So we have to be moved. We have to be changed. And we still, in our hearts, we think, because the mind and the heart are connected. But the point is, will I trust God? Do I trust Him? That is the whole question. And only you can answer that. And sometimes it can take years until we actually have to stop in our tracks and really think about that one. Because that is the only way you can walk in this life is to totally trust Him. God isn't going to change. He will help you. He will help me. But fundamentally, the end goal is that there's to be that trust. The same as we walk together two by two, those two have to trust, be in agreement. It is that harmony, that agreement. So here it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So as you approach and seek God, you ask for His advice, His leading, His direction. Lord, I want to trust You. I do trust You. I want to trust You in this because I don't know. I don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what to do next. I don't know unless You show me. You reveal to me. So that trust in your heart is coming to Almighty God, acknowledging the fact, I haven't a clue, I don't know, but I have a problem, I'm going through a trial or whatever it is, but I'm looking to you and trusting you. So often we have to approach God in that way. Which brings me to the second point in this. He says, trust and heart. And he says, with all your heart. Now, when we speak about all of us, we're speaking about the seat of the emotions, the whole being, everything about me is trusting God with my whole heart. And we should never ever settle when we come to the meeting, when we hear the word of God, whatever is connected with God, Lord, let it be my whole heart, my whole being involved in worshipping and receiving from you. Now, that should be the desire of our hearts, because indeed it takes all our heart if we're to trust him and to walk by faith, and that he's to enlighten our understanding. And we can hear this many times, but we know it doesn't take long. It can be seen when a saint's whole heart is involved with God, involved in the meeting, involved in worship, involved in hearing the word, involved in prayer and intercession. Doesn't take long. You can see when a whole heart is involved and when it's not. And we wonder why it goes wrong. We wonder why our prayers are not answered. It's all there. And we think at times it's with our whole heart. But who are we kidding? Probably ourselves at the end of the day. Because there's two that know. God knows and the devil knows. The problem is we don't know. And so that is why God shows us that he works on the heart, the potter, the clay. And that God shows us that he changes these hearts as stone to hearts of flesh. And he does that in order because it is from the heart, the seat of the emotions, you, the person, that you worship God, that you acknowledge him with your whole heart. You know, I often say when I get before God, Lord, I desire to pray today with my whole heart, my whole being. I'm available. I'm waiting on you for the move of the Holy Spirit. And many times that has to start with worship and praise, getting into his presence. And then we come on to the next bit. And he says, lean not on your own understanding. And that's where the pride factor comes in. That is where, until God has to humble us, break us, we really honestly think that we understand, and yet we don't. I know I've said this before, but how many of us, as we go on in this walk, are learning more and more, I don't actually know anything. I don't actually know anything. I am. And I've been walking with God now for 35 years. And I have to say, after 35 years, I don't know a thing. I really don't. Unless God shows me. And what I thought I did know, quite frankly, I'm not interested anymore. You know? I'm not. I don't want to know any more about that. I only want to know what God reveals to me, because that's my true understanding. Now, of course, it's not to say that we completely dismiss the past, because the principle of Galatians shows us that we were like under tutors, pedagogues, until we sort of came to faith, or that understanding of faith. We thought it was faith, but you know, we're now really beginning to understand what faith is about. So, you know, we don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. That was all preparatory. That was all building. That was all preparing us, bringing us today, now, where we are. So we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But the point that I'm saying is that the more I go on now, the more I don't understand unless God reveals and shows me. And that's exactly how he's getting this last army that he's preparing to walk. God's got to have an army who are completely united, the walk in agreement. And the only way they're ever going to do that is when they receive the commands from God, the revelations from God, and then they know what to do. They walk by faith and appropriate. You see, God, with this army, this last day army that he's raising, he's never going to show us too quick in advance. And the reason being is because we get our understanding in the way, do we not? So lean not under your own understandings. So we are to learn or lean upon God. This is what it actually means. It's like faith. Faith is leaning completely on God. So we lean on God and not on our own understanding, which really is another way, believing. Total faith, leaning upon God. You see, our understanding, you've got to just accept this, our understanding is of a lower intelligence to faith and trust in God. And that, of course, offends man, who likes to boast in all his knowledge and understanding and theology and you name it, the lot, and science, and you hear it. But you see, that is what we're looking at, a lower understanding. It's of a lower nature. It is of the world. Your understanding, your faith, the revelation that God gives to you is way, way above it. It's like those eagles that soar high, that look down. See, man's understanding, man's intelligence can never fly like an eagle can. But a saint who has the mind of Christ, they do. They fly right up there, looking down. And what a different sight it is, isn't it? You see? And so that is how God works in anointing our understanding. See, God doesn't work logically like man does. So don't even try and understand God. Let him reveal his will and his leading. Don't try and understand it. Don't try and learn. Don't try and sit down and say, oh, I'm going to learn about God today. It comes out of worship. It comes as you wait. It comes as you ask, Lord, I desire to learn more about you today. You see, that's why theological colleges and that seminaries can't cope with what I'm saying. They can't cope with that. They want to be in control how they teach and so on. And that is why we have the bondage that we have today. The religion. So don't try and understand God. Let him reveal his will, his leading. You see, David tried to understand God's will to build him a house. And even Nathan the prophet thought that was a good idea. But they were not in tune to God's will. In other words, in fact, what God was saying is, what you are revealing is lower in nature. That does not glorify me. That is not what would glorify me. That is not what is in my heart. And the reason that it could not glorify God, because there was sin. It is not right for man to shed blood, to murder, to fight. Under old covenant, God permitted it. And that's why when I spoke last week about Jesus revealing the inner law, and I spoke to you about just by being angry, resentful, is as good as committing the act of murder. You see? So we're under a greater promise. We're under more responsibility now under grace. God simply permitted that under Old Covenant because of the hardness of man's heart and Israel's heart of that time. And so here we have to be enlightened to understand. Now, when you're approaching God, and so he says, lean not unto your own understanding, which is exactly what he does. So then we begin to realize, I come before you. There's no way I can start to bring before you my understanding of this. Or you could talk out with God your understanding of how you see this situation, but acknowledging the same time, but Father, you see this probably at a much different level. And that's why I'm before you, because this is what I see, this is my understanding, but I'm also aware that you work and think quite differently, you see? And that's how we have to approach God, even in our prayers and our intercessions. We always have to seek God in our prayers and intercessions that we don't really know or understand until God enlightens and shows us. You know, sometimes when you're praying about a situation, or you're praying for someone, or you're praying for an area, you know, you start to get in tongues and intercession, because this is how the Spirit will bring it to us, by praying in the Spirit. Suddenly you begin to become aware what God is actually saying about this situation that you wouldn't have known before. That's why God sets the gifts, discernment, revelation, and so on. And so he's beginning to show you what it is that you're now beginning to pray for. He's enlightening, quickening your understanding. And whatever God shows you is way, 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 way above than whatever you thought, you see. That's what we mean by this. And then he goes on, in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. And we fall short on that one because we don't always do it, do it? In other words, it's in your ways, everything which you normally do every day, you commit before Jesus Christ. In other words, you acknowledge him. I'm committing this day into your hands before you get out of bed. It is only your perfect will, obedience, that I desire to walk in this day. And in that confession and belief, God works that through your day. And so you find that sometimes just something comes up, or some decision will come up at work, or whatever it would be. You just suddenly turn to God, Lord, I don't know what to do in this, but I'm looking to you to now. Now you will lead me. You'll give me the wisdom, understanding. You know, that's the Holy Spirit working it. You see, because you've already committed the day into his hands. You're acknowledging the fact that you want to walk this day by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And he will do that. Because you know as well as I do, we're always faced with sort of moral, ethical issues every day. We have to face decisions. You can't suddenly run up into the toilet and have a 10-minute intercession and find out what God's saying. Sometimes your boss wants an answer straight off from you. A yay or nay. So you're going to have to trust God that you commit that day and you're walking by faith. And somehow God's brought you to a situation or whatever it is. He's enlightened you. He's given you a certain knowledge that the rest are not seeing in the office or wherever it's working. You say, no, I don't think that's right. But God's quickened that to you. That's the point, you see. And you know that. You know that. Or sometimes, you know, you just say, well, look, at the moment, I can't give you an answer, but I will. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to pray about it. You see? So we're facing these issues every day in our life. Now, God has not made it impossible, because you know as well as I do that to live in this world now is getting more and more complicated. You know, it's just the pressures are horrendous. So how much more does that throw us on God, in which we need his understanding, and for that understanding we have to acknowledge him in all things. But we're not always quite alert on that one. And this acknowledging is really just seeking his understanding, to recognize that he will work it out, which he does. Because that's what it is. We have to acknowledge God because we're seeking God to work a situation out that I can't do. And it's got to be resolved. It's got to be worked out. This has got to be done at the end of the day before I leave the office. And God knows that before even you do. So he's all the while wanting to prove himself, show himself how great he is. And that also, by the way, is the light in you shining in darkness. You see? And Satan, of course, doesn't like that. Satan will always try to hinder you. A lot of your hindrances are so that he can try and stop you from acknowledging and seeking God, getting that understanding. That's where he attacks you, because he knows that is your light, the light of Christ in you, which is your testimony. And what is the promise? Here it is. And he shall. He shall direct your path. Not I might, I could. I will direct your path. What a promise to hold on to. He has promised to direct your path. And he has gone before and he has worked it out, and he simply wants you to be attuned to that which he has gone before and worked out. And so you see, you know that this is the way that things are worked out. And you know when they're worked out this way because you have that peace and that rest by faith. There's the key to it. There's the blessing to it. There's the sign that God's there, his presence there. And the moment that that peace is not there or is gone, you've got to stop. Don't do anything. Don't commit yourself. Don't just get back and find out what God is saying. You see, so often when we sin or we make those blunders, God's already showing that that peace isn't there as it should, but we have ignored it. And so God warns us. Many times God warns in life. God even warns in the world. Sometimes, you know, some disasters that have happened, you often hear, don't you, that before it happens, warnings were being given. I cannot tell you how many times you hear that in the news, that someone or whatever it was, a warning was given. You know, the financial crunch that we went through, the banks that had to be bailed out and everything. Actually, did you know a warning a year before that was given? They were warning about it. But that greed in man, which was so strong, couldn't hear that, you see? And that included the government. So you often hear, don't you, warnings are given. Sometimes when earthquakes come, warnings are given beforehand. And I'll tell you sometimes what can warn you is nature. Birds, animals, they pick it up before man. What is the biggest warning that is going out of the next earthquake that we have been shown that will happen? Along the western coast of America, California. But do they listen? Are they listening? No. So see, God speaks, he warns before it happens. God is speaking to us, he's warning that judgment is to fall, and he's showing us the way of escape into this spiritual ark. And how do you know all of this? Because you have peace and rest with God. And you see, often it doesn't work because we don't acknowledge God what we hear and what we read. We're not acknowledging because our whole heart isn't present. If your whole heart doesn't desire to worship God, then you are not really going to acknowledge God. And therefore, because you don't acknowledge Him, therefore you don't learn, you're not really being understanding His ways. But He's promised He shall direct your path. And it is a path of blessing. It is a path of salvation. It is a path that will lead to eternity. And that is a major principle, what I have read there in The Overcomer's Life. And you get that marked. You read it. You learn it. Let it become a part of you, because that there, those two verses, tell us really how we walk with God. Whether we succeed or we fail. And it doesn't take long if you failed. I bet you'll find somewhere in that where you didn't meet the conditions. They must be met for God to bless you. And the more He blesses you, and the more you see that He directs your path, the more you desire with your heart to learn these principles. Amen. Father, thank You again this morning. Thank You that we have heard this many times, but we do need to be reminded. And the reason we need to be reminded is because our understanding isn't right. What we think or what we thought we understood is probably not right. But Father, You have not left us in ignorance, in blindness, like the world is, but that You've come to open our eyes and our ears and our heart. And truly, Lord, You are doing that for Your glory. And we do praise You, Father. But Lord, we're having, in a sense, to let go of those things that we thought we understood were Your ways, were faith. But You're showing that they are not really faith. It's not really trusting. And so again, Father, help us to apply what we have heard and read today. Let it become living in our lives. Let our whole heart, our whole being live this and glorify Your name, Father, in this. Lord, we ask it. We are a desperate people because we do desire to understand, to be enlightened, to receive that revelation, to have our eyes open, Lord. It is our heart's desire, because otherwise we're blind. We will never understand. And we so desire to have our paths directed by the Holy Spirit, because that is how we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so, Lord, I thank You today. Thank You for our assembling together. I pray You'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us and all the saints who have come in today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.